Testament lesson from Isaiah. Isaiah is following the command of the Lord. He will go and deliver a message for the Lord. Isaiah's commission will have the ironic but deserved effect of hardening the rebellious hearts of the Israelites. In so doing, it ensures that the warnings of judgment will come true. Earlier in Isaiah, in chapters 1, 3, and 5, the Lord refers to Israel as my people. As their rebellion begins, the Lord now refers to them as this, or these people. It's no longer my people. Israel's separation from God is beginning. They have closed their minds, stopped listening, and shut their eyes to the Lord. They have become rebellious, proud, and hypocritical, thus alienating themselves from the Lord until they are in ruin and sent away. Even if a tenth, referred to as a remnant, remain in the land, it will be burned again. However, the oak and the terebinth can grow new shoots even when they appear damaged beyond hope. Paul also, New Testament lesson, he refers to this separation between Israel and the Lord in his letter to the Romans. But he emphasizes that God has not completely rejected his people. Just as God replied to Elijah that there were 7,000 who had not bowed to Baal, when Elijah believed he was alone in his faithfulness to God, so too, Paul is saying that there is still a faithful remnant chosen by grace that remain. Just as the Jews rejecting the promise of salvation had enabled the Gentiles to hear the message and obtain the riches of salvation, Paul reminds his readers that the Jews will be provoked by the Gentiles' riches and turn their hearts back to God to obtain even greater riches. Now, the gospel lesson from Luke, I think it's one of our more familiar parables, the parable of the sower. And this parable tells the importance of being prepared to hear the word of the Lord. This is one of only three parables that appear in all three synoptic gospels. The other parables that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the vineyard. And here in Luke chapter 4 is when Jesus, he begins teaching extensively in parables. As you know, these parables are stories that make a point. And Jesus did this for a couple of reasons. One, the stories usually involve a setting or a scene or an activity that the listeners would have been very familiar with. Here, his listeners would have all been familiar with the agrarian society where everyone, or almost everyone, would have known how seed was planted. By using parables with a hidden meaning to make a point, his truly interested followers, or his sincere followers, they could inquire further about the explanation, which they did in his parable, while unbelievers would miss the truth of what he was teaching. And the second reason, he used parables, and I just read this in study Bible yesterday, I found it interesting. By using parables, his enemies would have no direct statements to use against him later. I never heard that before. I thought that was extremely interesting. Jesus begins to describe a farmer planting in a field. In Israel in those times, a lot of the farmers did not own their own land. They would tend a piece of ground that was divided up by the leaders or the landowners in the area. And there would often be narrow paths through the field that the other farmers would get to tend to get to their piece of ground that they were tending. And this is likely the path that Jesus is describing here. The farmer would sow the grain by spreading it by hand. And unlike today's agricultural practice of tilling the land before sowing a crop, the farmers would usually spread the seed by hand and then plow the ground. This would incorporate the seed into the ground so it could grow. Seed not in the soil and laying on top of the ground is not going to grow, and is likely to be eaten by birds. And roads, these roads and pathways often went right through the fields and would have made the ground too hard for the seed to take root. Other seed fell on rocky ground. The rocks would have been either on the surface or more likely right underneath it, so it would have made the soil very shallow. Whichever it was, the soil would have been extremely shallow, and the plants could not have formed deep enough roots to withstand dry periods. The plants would not have been able to survive. Still other seeds fell in weedy areas among the thorns. As the plants began to grow, so too would the thorns, and the thorns would eventually overtake the plants. And the thorns or weeds would have pulled moisture away from the plants. And even if the plant itself would survive the competition for moisture, there would be nothing, it wouldn't produce a crop, there would be nothing to harvest. And the last of the seed fell in the good soil, soil that was not made hard by foot traffic, soil that was deep enough to provide the plant a good rooting, thereby ensuring the right moisture to grow, good soil that was not infested with weeds to compete with the plants. This good soil would ensure a crop that Luke says will yield 100 times more than was sown. Now Matthew and Mark use 30-fold or even 60-fold. Mark says maybe 100-fold. Luke uses an extremely large yield to put the emphasis on the importance of having good soil. And then in verse 8, Jesus says, or actually says he calls out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." He is challenging his listeners to understand the message and to take it to heart and use it for themselves. And after his disciples ask about the meaning of the parable, Luke says his disciples, Mark says the 12 and others. So it's likely more than just the 12 apostles that he was giving this message to. Anyway, after they ask about the meaning of the parable, Jesus says that he is revealing truths only known by revelation from God. He quotes the passage from the prophet Isaiah, found our Old Testament lesson. This passage almost makes it sound like Jesus desires or wants that some would not understand. Jesus does not desire that some would not understand, but he's stating a truth, albeit a sad truth, that those who are not willing to receive Jesus' message are going to be alienated from God. Jesus, he then further explains the parable. The seed is the word of God, or the message that comes from God. Each type of soil is a listener. The one on the path hears, but the message is never rooted and never begins to grow because they do not understand what they hear. The devil, or the evil one, takes away the word and prevents them from being saved. The rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy, but they have no root and believe only for a while. When they are tested, or troubles or persecutions come, they fall away because they are not rooted well enough. This kind of belief is superficial and does not save. 1 John 2:19, I think, explains this well. It says, "They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us." This shallow or superficial faith is also similar to what James calls dead or useless. I'm sure most of you are familiar with James. This is 2:17. "Even so, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead." Now, a rocky ground believer may have workless faith or even faithless works where they're doing the right things, but their faith is not deep enough to survive. The thorny ground are those who hear and believe, but the belief is overcome by other things as they live their life. Maybe they're overcome by worry. Maybe they desire wealth or power. Maybe they give in to immorality. Whatever it is, it eventually chokes their faith so that it does not mature and produce a crop. But the seed that falls in good soil are those who hear the word and keep it. And by being patient and persevering, they produce a bountiful crop. Jesus wants us to accept the word in order that our faith might fully mature, and in doing so, we can be a blessing to others. What he is offering is beyond anything that life can offer. That John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. It is only by being willing to accept his message that the separation between God and us is removed, and we have salvation. Because of what we have received, if we are patient, we can produce an abundant crop. Luke says 100 times what was sown. So what do you think is meant by a producer believing a crop in practical terms? John 15:5-8 tells us what it means. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. But we're his disciples. What did his disciples do? We should have said. They took his message to the world. Now, if you're like me, you think, my heart is good soil. I've accepted his word, and I'm using my mature faith to produce a good crop. But is being willing to accept his message a one-time thing, or do we need to take constant care to open ourselves to his word and to his will? Does that good soil need tending and nurturing to keep it that way? Have we been patient? He can preach if he wants.
You're really engaging him, I'm telling you.
Oh, sir.
Have we been patient and persevere if we become careless and lazy and stop searching his word? I think we fool ourselves if we think our faith is fully mature and close our eyes and ears to his message. I don't think his message changes, but there are always new things to learn from reading his word. There may be different insights gleaned from rereading old familiar passages. Searching his word and seeking his will in prayer are ways to keep the soil rich and ready to produce an abundant crop. I recently learned, and maybe some of you have seen or heard this, it was a demonstration, and it's a way to keep, I guess, to keep the word with us. I mean, we live in a society where we can come to church every Sunday, and some of us pray Bible apps on our phone, or read the Bible, or meditations, daily devotions every day. But I thought this was an interesting way that if you don't have that you can keep the word with you. So I need a volunteer. It's called, I've heard it called either the five-finger method or the hand illustration. So I need a volunteer. three fingers. Four fingers. And that's pretty easy. Okay. Now five fingers. Alright.
Point
two fingers. Five fingers. Hear, hear his word, read, study, memorize, and meditate. Y'all got that, right?
Do it again.
Hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. And the last is apply. So, hear his word. This is Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And read. This is Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Study. This is from 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. What was the fourth one? Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What was the last one? This is Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is James 1:22-25. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed what he does.
Hear, hear.
Read.
Study.
Memorize.
Meditate.
Apply.
Study.
Yes, study.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, for the guidance and the hope that you offer in that word to your believers. We ask that you open our hearts, keep our hearts to be good soil, and keep searching your word and finding your truths and your guidance, and that we might apply it in our daily lives. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.